Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. In light of the war in Ukraine, we thought that looking back to Ronald Reagan's ideas on human rights and the captive nations might be pertinent. Going back to 1975, Ronald Reagan opposed President Gerald Ford's signing of the final act of the Conference on Security and Cooperation in Europe, known as the Helsinki Accords, signed on August 1, 1975. Why, you ask? Well, he objected on the ground that it codified the captive nation status of Eastern Europe, that the Soviet Union and other communist states routinely violate human rights, and, once again, that such states cannot be trusted to honor agreements. So let's hear what he had to say on this subject in January 1978, before he was president.
For 2 days, I've been talking about violations of human rights in places that don't seem to be of much concern to those in Washington who talk about human rights. I'll be right back. In signing the Helsinki Pact, we gave the Russians something they've wanted for 35 years. In effect, we recognized the Soviet Union's right to hold captive the Eastern and Central European nations they've ruled since World War II. We signed the pact apparently because of one clause which had to do with human rights. Those making the decision to sign claimed the Soviet Union, by its signature, had agreed to let people have some, if not all, of the rights the rest of us take for granted. They are, for example, supposed to be able to leave the Soviet Union and the captive nations if they choose. But the Russians make promises. They don't keep them.
Hauntingly familiar, isn't it? Well, Reagan particularly wanted to redefine national policy toward the Soviet Union. Along with most other national leaders, he had supported the fundamental policy of containment of the Soviet Union that President Harry Truman adopted in 1947 and was subsequently followed by all presidents of both parties. But Reagan believed that the Soviets had taken advantage of detente, as practiced by Nixon, Ford, and Carter. As an example, Reagan contended that the SALT II nuclear treaty, negotiated by Carter but never ratified by the Senate, imposed greater limits on the United States than on the Soviet Union. So let's hear more from Citizen Reagan on this subject in 1978.
For more than 3 decades now, we've referred to the Iron Curtain countries as the captive nations. Each year, we have proclaimed a Captive Nations Week to remind the world and ourselves that the Soviet Union holds millions of people in bondage. This year, as Captive Nations Week drew near, there was no proclamation from the White House, only silence. Then Americans of Central and Eastern European origin brought pressure to bear, and a weak, meaningless presidential message was released. It pleased no one but the Russians. The UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva faced an American motion calling on the UN to question the Soviet Union about implementation of the Human Rights Clause of the UN Charter. But then, our chief delegate withdrew the motion before it could be brought to a vote. Now comes an act of symbolism which has shocked every American of captive nation descent, and those of Hungarian descent particularly. I'm talking about the crown of St. Stephen. It was first used in the coronation of Hungary's King Stephen, now St. Stephen, by the Pope nearly 1,000 years ago. It has come to have an aura of mysticism about it, with both religious and nationalistic significance to the people of Hungary. Most significant, it is symbolic of the legitimacy of Hungarian government. At the end of World War II, we liberated Hungary from the Nazis, but under the deal made at Tehran, we turned it over to the Russians. Our departing forces were asked to take the crown of St. Stephen to keep the Russians from getting it and to hold it in trust until Hungary was once again free. For more than 34 years, it has been kept in the vaults at Fort Knox. Now, the White House has declared this crown, which confers legitimacy and the blessings of heaven upon Hungarian government, to be the rightful property of the godless communist rulers of that captive land. At Tehran, we sold a freedom not ours to sell. Now we give legitimacy, not ours to give, to an illegitimate government. Are we really serious about human rights? This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
More about Ronald Reagan's thoughts on captive nations as president after this brief message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story. So by July 1987, almost 10 years after that radio address, things were changing. Two summits with Gorbachev had occurred at this point, aiming toward the signing of the INF Treaty in December of that same year. There was glasnost, perestroika, and guarded hopefulness. But still, the Soviet Union was intact, as was the machine Soviet along with the Berlin Wall. Let's listen to an excerpt from the president's 15-minute speech delivered to a luncheon audience of nearly 300 at the Ukrainian Catholic National Shrine in Northeast Washington. You'll hear how the president didn't miss an opportunity to attack the Soviets for their suppression of freedoms in countries allied with the Soviet Union. Let's listen.
There are indications of change coming from the Soviet Union, and those are welcome. But we should not and cannot turn our attention away from those who look toward the day there is improvement in human rights and basic freedoms. Today, we come together to declare again our solidarity with those whose nations have been captured by communism. This commemoration is in keeping with the vision of our founding fathers, who saw our new land as an inspiration to all mankind, a bastion of freedom and a shining beacon of hope for all the world's oppressed. And that's what America is all about. And together, we intend to keep her that way.
The speech to a Captive Nations Week gathering that is aimed at publicizing human rights violations in nations under Soviet domination. The speech came in a week in which the Soviets agreed to a key element in arms control talks: the global elimination of medium-range nuclear weapons. A White House official said later that the president is not retreating from any positions, but is trying to avoid being provocative as the two countries approach what was to be a December summit. In the talk, however, Reagan passed over several pointed references to Gorbachev in his text, and at one point appeared to link Soviet abuses in other nations to one of Gorbachev's predecessors, Leonid Brezhnev. Let's listen.
If the leadership of the Soviet Union desires a new relationship with the West, it can start by establishing a new relationship with its neighbors and allies. Let us hear that the so-called Brezhnev Doctrine is no longer policy. It is null and void. Let the Kremlin announce or renounce the use of force as a means of imposing on any people a form of government they do not choose, or of preventing the captive nations from freeing themselves. At home and throughout the Soviet bloc, open up the gates, tear down the walls, let the political prisoners go. We can have a peaceful world, we can spend less on weapons, we can have more cooperation. And make no mistake, the improvement of freedom and human rights is essential to progress between East and West.
The president recounted the tale of Petro Ruba, a prisoner held in the Soviet gulags, first for making a wooden replica of the Statue of Liberty, and then for criticizing the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Reagan urged that Ruba be freed, but he omitted addressing that appeal directly to Mr. Gorbachev. Let's listen.
Petra Ruban, for example, is a prisoner in Special Regimen Labor Camp number 36-1, one of the most notorious of the Soviet gulags. In 1976, he fashioned a wooden replica of the Statue of Liberty, and for that was taken away. Later, he was arrested again for criticizing the invasion of Afghanistan. Well, Free Petra and the others in the Gulag and respect people's fundamental human rights. The free people of the West are also looking closely at what the Soviet Union is doing in the Third World and in regional conflicts. In Afghanistan and Angola, brutal puppet regimes are being propped up by Soviet and Cuban troops. For some time now, we've heard words about the movement toward peace, especially in Afghanistan. But if Moscow wants reconciliation, why do Soviet aircraft still bomb villages in Afghanistan? Ground your helicopter gunships, take your troops home, and let the people of Afghanistan solve their own problems.
Many in the captive nations group appeared happy with his speech, although several noted Reagan's rhetoric was not as strident as in the past. They described him as very positive, without using very big words. He was strong, but his sense of humor softened the blows.
We're not misled by the propaganda and parades, the rallies and the orchestrated spectacles and events. We know that communist governments do not represent those whom they govern. Otherwise, they would not suppress the people's right to speak or travel or have free elections. Those brave souls who endure such regimes are our allies. They, more than anyone else, realize that communism is a failed philosophy, a theory that creates only misery, deprivation, and oppression wherever it's put into practice. People who live in the Soviet Union tell many funny stories, often as a form of underground protest. One is about the question, what is a communist? The answer, a person who has read the works of Marx and Lenin. And the question, what is an anti-communist? The answer, someone who understands the works of Marx and Lenin.
Ever optimistic, the president closed with hope. Let's listen.
Today we're being told that there are historic changes taking place in the Soviet Union, that the leadership is now pushing for openness and democratization. Well, last month when I was in Berlin, I called on Soviet leader Gorbachev to prove to the world that his Glasnost campaign is more than words. I challenged him to tear down the Berlin Wall and to open the Brandenburg Gate. I renew that challenge today and expand it to include opening up those countries that are now under the domination of the Soviet Union or its Leninist protégés, from the Baltic states through Bulgaria, from Vietnam to Ethiopia. I'd just like to leave with you one thought. I think America is heading into one of the greatest periods in its history. Yes, we have our differences, and at times politics can get pretty rough. Democracy is not for weak spirits. Whatever problems we have, whatever differences we have, however, are minor compared to those of our adversaries. Freedom is now on the offensive. We turned a corner in 1981, and if we have courage and are realistic in our approach to world affairs, freedom will not only survive, it will triumph.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores, and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast, featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.